Blog Talk Radio.
I will break your ass in half, you little shithead.
Yep.
The genesis of McGillicuddy.
Attack the brain computers.
Ultimate Warrior.
Look at the adjective.
Wait. He runs the Spanish. Finally, The Rock has come back home.
I'm back.
The boys are back in the saddle, so the Atomic Drop Show rides again on Blog Talk Radio.
Did you miss me?
Oh, how I have missed you.
You can talk a little wrestling with us by calling 619-924-9761.
You're going to give me what I want. I've been asking for years.
And now, once again, here are your hosts, Justin Todd and Kyle Cruz.
Paul, speak up to me.
I'm your charming call phone, oh, so handsome, just in time. And currently, I am not waiting on my good friend, my pal, my host, Kyle Cruz. I am not. For I must trudge this line alone, this world alone. Well, not really. I got my best friend, Jimmy Z, calling in, too. So, when he comes in, we will sit here and we will talk about all things that is In Your House 7, Good Friends, Better Enemies. Sadly, Kyle is joining us here tonight. Kyle has taken the public ambush, betrayal from Johnny to heart and needed the additional week to calm himself. Because as you saw last week, he was a trooper. I was. And he held it together. But after we called each other, and I wasn't doing too hot about that poor breakdown about the betrayal from our own brother, Johnny Simonetti, over at the Toddcast. It kind of shook poor Kyle down to his core, but he is a trooper. He is a man. He will be back. He just needed an additional week off, and for that, did not have a problem with giving him the additional week off. Thank you. But rest assured, Kyle will be back. As for next week is Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen, as you may or may not have known. And with that, give it up for Thanksgiving here, people. Next week, so everybody knows, obviously, we will not be here. We will be putting up our live podcast from the PodCon earlier this year when it was a roundtable discussion with then-best friend Todd Orndorff and Kyle before the betrayal and the treachery that has happened. Easy, chill. Chill, I know. It kind of fits with today's In Your House, Good Friends, Better Enemies, as you can humanly imagine. But however, with that, again, we will not be here. We will be throwing up the PodCon 2019 live show. And you'll be in for a fun little treat there. It's never been released. We kind of left it as is in case we ever had an emergency or something that would come up like this exact scenario. But let me tell you, I am in no position to sit here and, you know, with a full tummy, full stomach, full of pie and turkey and stuffing and such as that. I don't think I'll be in any condition to sit there and discuss anything that's pro wrestling as much as I would love to. Also, I would be remiss if I did not make mention of this too. Happy birthday to Mrs. Cruz as well. Mrs. Cruz just celebrated a birthday as well. So happy birthday to her. Sadly, Mrs. Cruz was unable to enjoy her birthday as she was still consoling poor Kyle over the loss of Johnny Simonetti. However, we do have a fun show lined up. As I said earlier, Jimmy Z will be calling in momentarily. I had to call in a few favors for him to come in, but you know what? Jimmy's a good guy, and we'll be able to sit here and, you know what? We're going to make it happen. We're going to make it all happen together. But what we're going to do right now, I'm trying this thing out again. Or last episode. You know what? He ran scared. He ran like a little bitch. So we're going to sit here. We're going to call Mr. Orndorff up here. Let's see what we got here. Okay. Because he was running scared. We're going to put in his phone number right here. And, okay. Live Riveting Radio. Okay. Let's give this a shot here, people. There it is. It's ringing. It is ringing. Now here's the thing. If this guy, this Joker, had like a voicemail, I would be more inclined to leave this Joker a voicemail, call him out every week. And he knows that I'm calling.
Todd Orndorff, sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Have a great day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
All right, Todd, this is Justin from the Atomic Drop Show. You are live on the air, but sadly, you're ducking and dodging. Why don't you come back onto our show? Why did you take Johnny from us? I'm calling you out during your live performance right now on your show. Come on. You know exactly what we want. We want Johnny. We want a debate. I want a debate for Johnny. I want what is properly ours. You sat there, you dodged us, you dived us. You're avoiding us like the plague, man. And what do we get in return? That's right. Absolutely nothing. So let me get this straight. You're going to sit there, dip, dodge, duck, dive, dip, and dodge away from us? No. I don't back down. I am a fighter. I will continue to fight. And you know what? I will be fighting until I get what property is properly mine. The friendship and the determination of Johnny Simonetti. If you have a problem with that, you know what? Give me a call. You know the number, 619-924-9761. And with that is how we deal with situations around here, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, gosh. You people are awesome. I swear to you. You know, what's that? Oh, gosh. Thank you. However, as I said, Jimmy Z should be calling in momentarily now that we took care of the worst portion of the day. Let's talk about a little bit about WWF in your house. Number 7, good friends, better enemies. And now let me tell you something about this right here, ladies and gentlemen. When I was speaking to Kyle and consoling him as well, I, believe it or not, I tried to watch this damn pay-per-view. Not once, but twice. And then after that, I watched it thrice. I watched it 3 times. And I'm going to tell you why I watched it 3 freaking times. Not because it was that bad or that bad. It was the fact that... it was literally the fact that I just kept... Ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize about that brief interruption. I have stated before. for Blog Talk Radio shit. Flat out piece of shit where my call really just got disconnected. So again, or I like to believe Todd being a little bitch. Tag Todd is a bitch. It is a little trending too. Believe it or not. Hashtags there, Todd. However, as I was saying, three times I tried to watch this pay-per-view, and it took me three tries through it. This paper is definitely a huge snore fest. I just couldn't get into it. Not for me, I swear. I was falling asleep during the Vader match. And I just couldn't do it. It was horribly awful. I mean, the only saving grace was that main event that I'd love to sit there and break down with Jimmy Z as soon as he calls in. Other than that, like I said, next week we do have Thanksgiving coming up, so it will be a special edition of the Atomic Drop Show with Kyle Cruz and that Benedict Arnold Todd Orndorff. And yeah, I'm not going to lie, just kind of sitting here waiting on old Mr. Z. You know what? When in doubt, do you think I should probably give him a phone call too? You know what? When in doubt, give him a call. Let's see what happens here. Okay. I know, again, riveting, high quality radio right here. Right.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Uh-oh. That's no good. You know what? Let's try that one more time, shall we? Da-da-da. Let's go back here. And sorry, I believe it or not, I have a brand new system I'm trying to run out right now. So I'm trying to figure out the bugs on it. And ladies and gentlemen, so if this show turns into complete shit, now you know why. Oh, believe it or not, I think he's here. The man, the myth, the legend, Jimmy Z. Jimmy, are you there, buddy?
Man, just call me to the rescue, baby. I'm here.
Oh, my God, Jimmy. I've been sitting up here doing live stand-up like Rodney Dangerfield. You're getting no respect out of anybody.
Listen, man, I'm here to save the show. I'm here, baby. I'm here.
You know what? I am glad you are here. You are, without a doubt, the Robin to my Batman, man. You came in the clutch. So, again, I personally want to say thank you for coming in.
Yeah, I'm here, baby. I'm here. So, you know, it was backstage was awesome, man. I saw it. I remember to watch it, which was crazy. I love the whole thing. I saw clips of him on the Herd the next day, which was great too. And honestly, like, it's classic CM Punk. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And there's not really one thing he did not. I don't really think that. There's not one thing I could have disagreed with him about.
I have to agree. I mean, you said everything you wanted to say, and he cannot truly get in trouble for what he says about WWE, because obviously he is a Fox employee.
No, yeah, of course. But I'll be honest with you, like, this is him starting his own feud. And this will turn into something eventually, but it's him doing it on his own terms and the way he wants to set it up. You know what I mean? And not being told by somebody that this is the angle you're going to get to. Like, he's basically working his own angle. He's calling his own shots. It's great. It's perfect.
Without question. I mean, he's playing the game correctly and properly with what he's doing, how he's setting it up to. And again, that's why he is the best in the world at what he does. Just like Lee Sapdahl and Chris Jericho.
100%. Yeah, I mean, Jericho, I was watching a little bit of AEW last night while folding T-shirts at the shop. And I wasn't listening, though, so I didn't really hear anything. But I did love Billy Gunn in that Battle Royal. I thought that was great.
That was a fantastic Battle Royal. I enjoyed the twing that was happening in the middle of the ring, too.
Yep. Would you agree that from what I saw, Busted Open Radio had a survey, a poll, and I believe NXT won the poll as far as whose show was better last night. And it, from what I'm also hearing, it's been like that way for a while, that NXT really overall since the beginning has been a better product. Would you agree or disagree?
I would have to agree with that. I'm going to let you know why. WWE or NXT or whatever you want to refer to them as has been doing this for over 50 years, 60, 70, 80 years. So they know how to put on a proper product, while AEW is still learning to put on a proper product. However, when they do the ratings, they keep saying that they want them different, like AEW. However, with the Survivor Series coming up this Sunday, I was very vocal a couple of weeks ago how I displeasure this time of the year because I'm not a big brand supremacy kind of guy. It's just not my cup of tea. I find it boring. It was cool back during the Invasion era. That was cool as hell because that was never done before. But this just feels like it's just always being forced, because when December hits, it's going to be like, all right, we're all going to go back to our separate brands as if nothing ever happened. But with that said, watching some of NXT last night, that was a very, very well-produced, put-together show. A lot of surprises, which I do enjoy, that sort of thing. Did not expect Seth Rollins and Ciampa to go at it as well. I mean, that close out was beautifully orchestrated and done.
Yeah, I have to agree on that. And, you know, what we're seeing here as far as the ratings go, it's very similar to when WCW was still in the lead, but WWF was clearly putting on better product, and it was like that. I mean, they may have gone 83 weeks, but we'd have to really look back to see when the shift really happened. How many weeks in were when the shift really happened? And what I mean by the shift is the Montreal Screwjob. I mean, I think that's really where things. They were good before that, in my opinion. I thought even the last Bret Hart, whole Hart Foundation thing, I thought was really good, and I really thought that was the beginning of the Attitude Era, because Bret just also voiced his dislike and where it was going also, and that was, you know, thrown in with the real part of everyone else's real character, and how Vince did the whole, you know, no more passe, no more whatever nonsense. And, I mean, clearly I think that right there is honestly right around the time when you saw the shift, was that time in 97. So, but I'd be interested to know, like, when really the product really did take that turn and how many weeks in were they. So, you know, because that's what's really going on right now, is AEW is getting better ratings because, oh, we want something fresh and, you know, like, so there's really anti-WWE and there's, like, you know, NXT, you know, diehard. So, and that's really what's happening right here.
I completely agree with you on that. I would love to look that up. One, after what the ratings kind of look like after the screw job myself, now as you made mention of that. That will be definitely something for me to look at. Not next week, because obviously I spoke to everybody at the top of the hour saying there will be no show next week, obviously due to the holiday, that being Thanksgiving for us. But the following week, I would definitely like to look that up and figure out what the ratings were like and what transpired afterwards. Because I've never really given that much thought, so you literally just said that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it was back then, man. Like, I thought once Austin fucking was over, like, that's when everything changed. And right around that time, you have to ask yourself, where was NWO then? I mean, were they in the bloated stage? Like, that's another good question. Where you know, because NWO clearly was hot. You know, no question about it.
Well, absolutely. And I feel like we might be shorting ourselves because right now, as you know, we're doing the In Your House series. And when we're doing that, too, me and Kyle kind of were talking about watching some of the big monumental events, kind of like the WrestleManias or like the Screwjob or the Montreal Screwjob and stuff like that, too. So we will sit there and we will definitely review that as well when it comes time to. Right now, believe it or not, we just got done, or at least I just got done, reviewing In Your House 7, Good Friends, Better Enemies. That was out of the Omaha, Nebraska Civics Auditorium, which had the main event of Shawn Michaels, then WWF champion, going against Diesel in Diesel's last performance on WWE.
Yeah. You know, I mean, realistically, like, once they showed up on Nitro, that's when, like, Raw didn't stand a chance. And it was pretty bad. Like, not only that, but it was, like, also bad on top of it. You know, new Diesel, new Razor, and that was rough. You know, so, but it's just kind of like, you just got to put the dates and everything together, you know, because once Austin got hot, there's no turning back there. And then The Rock was, you know, once The Rock turned and became Nation, that's also around the same time. These are all really, like, very crucial dates in wrestling history as far as how that one thing, you know, surrounded with all its, you know, co-stars, you know, and all the other storylines that were going on, but that being, like, the main one or the biggest, the most important one at the time, it's just you put it all together, man, and that's what made everything so great.
Without question, I highly agree with that. So what I'm going to do is, just to keep continuity alive here, I am going to run down this quick card so we can finally get off of In Your House 7 that we've been stuck on for the last, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So pretty much what we end up doing here is we just sit here, we kind of give it a quick little review. I know I called you at completely last minute, so if you remember it, feel free to chime in, or if you want to reminisce about one of these wrestlers, that's completely fine too.
Knowing myself, I'm sure I'll find something to say.
All right, first matchup on the card was the free-for-all with Mark Mayo with Sable, who defeated the 1-2 Kid with Ted DiBiase by disqualification in a singles match that went 7 minutes and 17 seconds. Sadly, they do not post the free-for-alls on the network, which is highly disappointing.
That is pretty disappointing that it's not, like, the free-for-all and that all in one.
Because, believe it or not, what they end up doing is they had 9 matches on this card. One of them was a free-for-all and 3 dark matches, and they don't ever talk about the dark matches or say anything about them, or have any kind of taping for them, which I feel like kind of cheats them, because some of these dark matches were very, very good. With the example of match 7 on the card was Savio Vega versus Stone Cold. Match 8 was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, who wrestled Mark Mero again. And match 9 was Undertaker, who defeated Mankind. I mean, those are 3 pretty solid matches for being in 96 and did not even think about producing.
This is where In Your House probably started getting better.
Well, excuse me, you caught me as I was taking a drink.
You know, but I think, one of Stone Cold's first, honestly, most memorable feuds, I think, was against Vega. And Vega was, I think,
yes,
at that time, the good guy.
He was, yes. this
you know, Stone Cold was the heel, you know.
Yep, they were.
But everybody loved them.
The Caribbean strap match.
Yep, I remember that. So wait, Merrill fought twice in one night in this joint?
Yes, he did.
Like, I never really like did it. Was it? So, was the winner of the first match going on to the second match, or like? Because
no,
you said there was a disqualification,
it was just
right?
It was just a free for all, just a. The grab me one to say let's buy this, and then the second one was just a dark match that was never aired on television. So it really didn't matter if there was a winner or a loser. It was just something more so for the fans. Last pay per view that we reviewed, which was not WrestleMania 12, but was I believe it was. Oh my goodness, let me go back here. It was Season's Beatings, or excuse me, no, Rage in a Cage, where. Razor sat there and he wrestled twice, if you can fathom such a crazy thing. It was just like they were very hard up on Razor. They kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and obviously we all know what ended up happening was that this was the last pay-per-view that had Razor and Diesel on it, and they would not return until 2002.
So this is the last one... So this is right around the curtain call time, clearly.
This is clearly curtain call time. Because when Nash is coming out, he throws up the click symbol. And he's like, all right, we already know what's happening. At least the smart marks know.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were doing that from the early times. We just, nobody really noticed it because it wasn't really brought up, you know, or it wasn't really a thing or didn't really stick out, you know?
No. The King would say that Shawn Michaels was sitting there in his click. He's like, what the hell did that even mean? And now looking back, he was like, oh, the click.
Oh, yeah. Too sweet, man. Too sweet.
Too sweet, baby. So the first match, official matchup on the card was the Owen Hart and the British Bulldog defeated Ahmed Johnson and Jake the Snake Roberts in a tag match that went 13 minutes and 47 seconds.
Man, Jake the Snake, damn.
Yeah,
he was pretty
Jake
rough
the
back
Snake.
Then.
He was. Let me see if I can remember this correctly. Jake the Snake, believe it or not, needed a tag team partner and called on none other than Ahmed Johnson to come fill in the position as his tag partner. I remember watching the match back and forth. It was a quality match. It wasn't anything to write home about. But, watching it,
One thing you got to give Jake the Snake Roberts is he had a lot to do with the birth of Austin 316.
Oh, without question. He was the primary reason why Austin 316 was made and built.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So it was just – so that's just that, – that part is wild. You know what I mean? And clearly it's just that one small thing that allowed – this character just to completely elevate, you know what I mean? Which is unbelievable.
Absolutely. Second matchup.
And the reason why we're not getting that anymore is because of what CM Punk said, overproduced by one person.
Absolutely. Next matchup would be the Ultimate Warrior who defeated Goldust with the Bodyguard in Marlena by countout. For the Intercontinental Championship. This match went 7 minutes and 38 seconds. Now, you never saw this match. This match was weird. And I'm not talking like Goldust weird. I'm talking Warrior weird. Where Goldust comes out to the ring and seriously does not want anything to do with the Warrior. Because obviously it's the Warrior. So, Marlene is in her directing chair. Goldust has his robe on there. He sets everything off to the side, and he proceeds to get out of the ring and let the Warrior run in, do his rope swing and whatnot. He proceeds to grab the director's chair and sets it back up again in the middle of the ring, tries to go out after Marlena and the Bodyguard, where Marlena will now sit down, or excuse me, drop her cigar, to which the Warrior will now pick up the cigar. He will start smoking it, and that bastard is smoking like a chimney. around the whole entire ring, just puffing out smoke, sits in the director's chair with Goldust Robon, which he now obtained, and is just taunting Goldust for to get into this ring. And
wait, I remember seeing that. You said that wasn't on TV?
No, this match was.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I remember.
Yep, everything
that.
I'm speaking of now will be would have been seen on the pay-per-view.
Alright, 10-4.
So with that, Goldust proceeds to then go over to the announce area and starts to ridicule the fans as the fans start chanting faggot at him, because Goldust then proceeds to say, "I will sit there and kiss every single one of you," which garnered a whole bunch of boos from everybody.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it really don't fly anymore.
So, oh boy.
As you see the Warrior just sitting there still puffing on a cigar, you hear Vince clearly say the Warrior does not condone smoking. And like, yeah, that's just a whole problem right there, just watching him sit there puffing up a cigar and being one of the top baby faces in the company at that point in time.
Oh, yeah.
So what ended up happening was Goldust had his leg pretty much all taped up and for some reason did not wrestle, be it a gimmick or whatever it would be. However, the bodyguard, who, believe it or not, I think I'm going to try to figure out who the hell the bodyguard was. The bodyguard was Mike Halleck. Oh. So here it was an American professional wrestler, best known for his appearances in the World Wrestling Federation in the 90s under the ring name Mantor. He was Mantor.
Mantor.
All of that. Did not know that he was Mantor. So Mantor goes in there and tries to get the director's chair and the wig back and the robe and fails miserably. And that's pretty much how Goldust was practically defeated. The bodyguard then drops all of his stuff. Warrior puts back on his stuff and then parades around the ring wearing his Goldust wig. 7 minutes, 38 seconds. It was weird. It was boring. I had no idea what was happening. It just felt like it dragged on, obviously way too long for whatever they were trying to pull off there. Third match up would be Vader with Jim Cornette, who defeated Razor Ramon in a singles match that went on for 14 minutes and 49 seconds. Now, let me tell you something about this match here, Jimmy. I have sat here, and I've watched this pay-per-view three times.
Three times.
And I'm going to tell you why. I have fallen asleep twice during the same fucking Vader match.
Oh, boy.
And I could not get through this damn match to save my soul. Two times. It took... I could not do it. Third time, I finally sat
How
there
long
and,
was it?
Like... What's that?
How long was it?
14 minutes and 49 seconds.
That's a long time.
Against Razor. Oh, that went on far too long than what it should. Was sitting there watching it. The only thing I kept notice was Vader sitting there fixing his mask after every other bump he took. Rest in peace, Vader, by the way. But it just would not really end. I remember I was losing off both times, and I kept saying, "Oh my God, this match is still going. What? When will it be over?" And then I would doze right back to sleep, and then I would wake up like 3 hours later wondering where I am and what happened to the pay-per-view.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was not one of the best matches on the card. And mind you, they were trying to follow up the Ultimate Warrior, too, in that Goldust.
Let's do ourselves a favor and go on to the next match.
That's pretty much it. After the match, Doc Hendricks comes out and informs Vader and James E. Cornette that Yokozuna will be returning to action next month, and Vader will be facing Yokozuna in his return match on the pay-per-view, which will be labeled Beware of Dog. And oh boy, if you remember Beware of Dog, that was just another clusterfuck right there too.
That's very true.
It was so bad they had to redo it again.
Yeah, that was a good and bad time all mixed up in one.
It was. If you remember correctly, that's the one right where all the power went out to the arena. And it was just completely horrible. Michaels was down on himself during that point in time, too, because his two best friends were long gone, and he was just stuck in an angle with the Bulldog. But speaking of the Bulldog here, during one of these backstage segments, you see Bulldog and Owen trying to get into Shawn Michaels' dressing room, and you hear Doc Hendricks explaining why they want to go see Shawn Michaels because they heard a rumor that Bulldog's wife made a pass at Shawn Michaels.
I think that's Shawn Michaels talking trash in 96.
You know what? It could very well be, but that's kind of what led up to the Beware of Dog pay-per-view, was just that Michaels was kind of patronizing Davey Boy's wife and vice versa, and they didn't like it. So it's kind of like the whole Lana feud going on right now, minus the baby. When in doubt, just go to your marriage life.
Right.
All right. Fifth matchup on the card was the Bonnie Donnas, Skip and Zip, who were the champions with the golden hair fox, Sonny, defeated the Godwins, Henry O. Godwin and Phineas I. Godwin, with Hillbilly Jim for the tag team championships. This match went on 7 minutes and 17 seconds. Do you remember anything about the Bonnie Donnas or the Godwins there, Jimmy?
I do. I remember the Godwins. I remember Triple H in the slop match. I remember seeing that. And the Bonnie Donnas.
With Skip and Zip right there.
That was our first time seeing Sonny. And just kind of like Fable, she became bigger than the actual wrestler, you know?
Absolutely. Soon after this, I believe, Skip and Zip both left, and Sonny then got thrown on with the Smoking Guns.
The Smoking Guns.
Again, the match, really nothing to write home about. Back-forth match. Bonnie Donnas won after Sonny distracted Phineas I. Godwin, or Pig. See how what they did there? And this started excuse me, very professional tonight here. This would start off the cat and mouse game between Sonny and Phineas for God, it seems like over a year or so, where Sonny would sit there and try to lead on Phineas and start losing all of his matches. And now following up would be the main event. Shawn Michaels with Jose Lothario defeated Diesel in a no-holds-barred match for the WWF Heavyweight Championship match. Longest matchup on the card for 17 minutes and 53 seconds. This match was pretty good for 96 standards. Good back-and-forth action. Diesel would sit there and take off Earl Hebner's belt off of him and start whipping Shawn Michaels and choking him out with the belt, having him hang off at the top rope, or over the top rope. Shawn Michaels would then also take a jackknife powerbomb through the announcing table of McMahon and Lawler, which was pretty phenomenal during that point in time, too. As well as Vince McMahon and the King losing both of their headsets in that instance, and they were forced to work on hardwired microphones. It was pretty unique and different. Now, how they ended up closing out this match was pretty ingenious. Do you remember Mad Dog Vachon there, Jimmy?
A little bit, vaguely.
Mad Dog Vachon was, I believe I want to say, the uncle to Luna Vachon.
Okay.
And he had his wrestling career pretty much cut tragically in half due to a car accident and had his leg amputated off. So they had him sitting there during the matches. He was sitting there waving crowd and whatnot. Diesel would then proceed to go out over to Mad Dog Vachon, rip open the barricade, throw Mad Dog off onto the floor, and then pull off his prosthetic leg. And then walked into the ring and tried to start beating Shawn Michaels over the head with his prosthetic leg, to which Michaels was able to duck, grab the leg, hit Diesel over the head with the leg, and then hit him with some sweet chin music for the 1-2-3. It was for 96, that was pretty hardcore. To just sit there and grab a amputee's leg off and start using it and beating it over somebody else's head. That's a Jerry Springer move right there, and a little bit before its attitude predecessor, if you ask me.
For sure.
And with that, that pretty much closes out In Your House 7, Good Friends, Better Enemies.
Man, those storylines for In Your House were so stupid.
Oh, every single one sucked. Every single blood.
Yeah,
one
they were all. I think the only one that was good was the D-Generation X one.
Oh yes. That whole pay per view, believe it or not, was their last In Your House that they did.
Yeah, that would make sense that they kind of nixed that, like when D-Generation X was getting hot, because that's when all the trash ended, and that's when it was awesome the whole time.
Without question. Is there anything you want to comment about this whole pay-per-view, or have anything that you want to talk about, be it any of the wrestlers that wrestled, or anything along those lines?
No, I think we said what we had to say. I think we should just finish this review, because we clearly been trying to get this out of the way for a while, so let's just be done with it.
All right. So the aftermath of this would be, according to the ever-reliable Wikipedia, and if Kyle was here, I'm sure he would do a better job of this. However, in the aftermath, prior to leaving WWF, Nash and Hall, alongside Michaels and Triple H, were involved in a controversial incident on May 19th, 1996, during a Madison Square Garden event that would be known as the Curtain Call. Now, mind you, this pay-per-view was April 28th, so almost about a month later that the Curtain Call would happen, where after a match between Michaels and Diesel had ended, both Hall and Hunter entered the ring alongside Michaels and Diesel, would embrace and a hug despite Michaels and Hall being fan favorites and Diesel and Helmsley being heels. Shawn Michaels immediately began a heated rivalry with the Bulldog as a result of the match made for the following month In Your House between the two. Goldust began a feud with The Undertaker, leading up the weeks to a casket match at an In Your House. Mankind assisted Goldust from a continuously attacking Undertaker, which led to a feud between Mankind and The Undertaker. Vader restarted his feud with Yokozuna, while Good Friends, Better Enemies was Razor Ramon's last televised WWF appearance. The Godwins went on to win the tag team championships from the Bonnie Donnas in a rematch on May 19th, at the MSG, in the dark match between The Undertaker and Mankind was included as part of the WWE's Attitude Era Volume 3 unreleased DVD and Blu-ray set. Woo! That was a mouthful.
Oh, yeah.
However, In Your House 8 will be I can't talk straight, Beware of Dog, which will take place in, Florence, South Carolina, and North Charleston, South Carolina, too. Oh, man, because let me tell you, that was just a whole clusterfuck for those two pay-per-views. But we will hopefully review that one in 2 weeks, give us a little bit more time, and a little bit extra in there. But, Jimmy, is there any thoughts that you want to sit there and try to convey about or any state of wrestling that you want to talk about, seeing now that we got through that hardship known as In Your House? Any hot takes?
I had something, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of forgot. But, I'm still trying to understand why CM Punk tagged Tony Khan in his post about the backstage, because he didn't really say much about AEW at all.
I think that's just him trying to garner attention, because they were
everything else he did and said had merit to it. You know what I mean? I really thought he was going to, you know, be across the board and be like, you know, a commentator for, you know, analyst. So that's why, other than that, like everything else, he's kind of like, you know, has made sense to me. That part is like, out of everything that he did, that's the only part, honestly, that didn't make any sense, or I thought there was no merit to it, you know?
Everything he does for a reason, obviously. And sooner or later, I'm sure that will just flush itself out. But I feel like that's just him taking stabs at Vince McMahon, because he put Vince McMahon and Tony Khan in the same tweet. Which it seems pretty I don't want to say controversial.
Yeah. I guess from that standpoint, I can see now what business do you have putting McMahon's thing in there if he works for Fox, you know?
There you go, buddy.
Look at that.
It's just one of those things that he does. Punk's just being Punk.
That's the show.
And let's see, we also had the return of Samoa Joe. Nice to see Samoa Joe coming back on commentary on Monday Night Raw for a little bit there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot better than what they have going on, so yeah.
I mean, I'm a big Joe mark, as probably everybody knows here, and just any time I get to see Joe, I'm immensely happy. I just wish that he would come back sooner and heal from his injury a lot faster.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you on that one. Definitely can't disagree with that one. Joe, I'll be honest with you, I like him a lot more now than I liked him in TNA.
And why is that?
I'll be honest with you, Joe's mic in TNA it was really annoying. I felt it was just really, really annoying. I thought he was trying to act like a tougher guy. He was trying to sound like a tougher guy than he really was. He didn't need to try to sound that tough. He already looked tough, you know what I mean? And I think that his mic skills in TNA, I think, were just not developed, you know? I just didn't like them. But I think there's a much bigger difference right now with Joe's talking presence than it was when he was just trying to be, like, you know, intimidating, and it wasn't intimidating at all.
Absolutely. Joe grew exponentially, even though he was a world champion. He got his merit. But when he went to NXT, that is right where he bloomed, like, beautifully. And I feel like anybody who wants to go to NXT should want to go to NXT, just to sit there, polish up, and do whatever. It virtually is the performance center on steroids. It's the best way as I can humanly describe it. Need a quick little brush up, send them down to NXT for a couple months or half a year, and let's see what comes out of it. I mean, they sent Finn Balor back down there.
I think the process in NXT really is the future of wrestling.
Oh, hell yeah, it is.
Because like, and the proof of that is that Triple H has legitimately made him, and Vince is legitimately, breaking him. Like, it's crazy.
It is true. I mean, I have often said that as soon as, like, Velveteen Dream gets called up, or if he ever gets called up, see, now you can pick whatever damn brand you want to stay on. As soon as Vince gets his hands on him, he's just going to become, like, a hardcore mid-carder.
You know, it's like every person that left NXT to go to the main roster, really, like the majority of them have all failed.
Yeah.
And they were like over, like they were super over in NXT.
And then Vince
buried them.
Bobby Roode was a good example. Bo Dallas would be another one. No Way Jose.
Over.
All these guys.
Like, if those guys were given the same freedom as the guys were when the Attitude Era started, just give them the same freedom they had at NXT. Like, that's it, you know? And I feel it would have been a different outcome. But, you know, they go from and NXT is what made them. And like I said, they're just being suffocated. And, you know, and what happens with when you can't breathe? Things don't work out.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have spoken on that before, too. We have sat there and tried to figure out who's made it, who hasn't made it. Obviously, some people like Seth Rollins have made it. Bray Wyatt has made it. Dean Ambrose made it. The Shield, let's just say The Shield made it. Sasha Banks, Bayley, the Horsewomen have made it. Page
Bailey is not Bailey is not as over, okay, right now as she was over there. I mean, that's not. I don't think so.
This new attitude that she has gotten, I feel like, will help her tremendously get back over. Because obviously, her original gimmick was a dusty product. That was all him. How he came up with that whole product, and he wanted to market that towards little girls and such like that. And in the Corey Graves podcast that he now produces or hosts, he had Bailey on there. And Bailey said, "I am a 30-year-old woman who wears a ponytail off to the side. How do you think I actually feel about that?" I went, damn, cold-blooded. I mean, I don't know if that was actually her talking or if that was just the gimmick talking, but either way, that was pretty damn cold-blooded right there, if you ask me.
Yeah. Oh,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, nothing really too exponential that's going on in the world of wrestling this week. Kind of pretty quiet compared to last week's CM Punk shocking review or return.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Honestly, it was a breath of fresh air. I thought it was, I thought it completely delivered what it expected to deliver. So, I see your point in this whole Survivor Series and like nothing coming out of it. But at the same point, like nothing ever came out of the Survivor Series anyways. Like people that would never team up teamed up, and if they won, they won. Like, and then they went right back into the regular gimmick. So it's really following everything it's been this whole time anyways. So I am a fan of it because of like stuff like last night, you know, main roster people showing up on NXT, like that was cool. and there was a reason for it. Like, there'd be normally no reason for it, and it wouldn't make sense. But that made sense, so that did make for exciting television. So I am for, like, the Survivor Series and all that stuff with the brands because it's just fun, and then you get to see people on shows. And the SmackDown and the Raw, seeing those, that's not really that shocking because they switched so many times, and it's been so – you know, it's, you know, it hasn't been too long since they kind of shifted things around. So to see Roman Reigns on Raw is not like shocking, but to see Seth Rollins on NXT, that's shocking. You know, it's not, you know, it's more of a shock factor than, you know, than the latter. So I'm all for the, you know, for it. And I actually am interested in watching Survivor Series, and I haven't really been interested in watching a pay-per-view in a very long time.
Oh, wow. Wow, okay. You kind of fact-checked me right there, because I really just had no desire to see this pay-per-view at all, because I have no desire to see triple threat matches. Like, the women's match, that right there just seems boring and pointless to me. Not to the women, just the match itself sounds incredibly boring.
Yeah, and I'm really talking more... I'm talking more of like the, you know, the large tag matches. You know what I mean? Like, just comparing more of like the classic, you know, Survivor Series stuff, not like the, you know, Hulk Hogan versus Undertaker, you know, single match nonsense. That's like the first ever singles match in Survivor Series history, you know?
Absolutely.
Every year after that, they had a championship match until they kind of just like changed everything. Like, everything changed anyways, you know?
I agree. It's just that if they didn't have this, like, they literally just had the brand split, and now they're sitting there just toting their own damn brands. It's so stupid. The draft was stupid. This was stupid. The wild card rule was stupid. 2019 for professional wrestling was just not good. And this isn't even like the year-end review. I'm just saying 2019 sucked for professional wrestling.
Yeah. No disagrees,
I mean,
there.
I've been watching wrestling since 96. So this is, doing these recaps have been really fun for me. However, sometimes I just get tired. And this is like the most tired I've ever been to watch professional wrestling. I mean, I stuck through it through that Katie Vick shit. I stuck through it through the McMahon-Helmsley era that went on and on and on. The Roman Empire and the Cena era and all that other shit. Those ones dragged. This right now, I feel, is probably the worst that it has been, at least for me personally, to watch professional wrestling. I cannot stay up anymore. Not by choice, because, like I said, 10 o'clock, I will sit there and just falter out in my seat and wake up at 11:05 every damn Monday night. And it's like, God damn it. Without bells on, I would sit there and just pass out. And it's like, wrestling should not be me passing out. My younger self would be kicking myself in the ass trying to see that I've been falling asleep on wrestling, which I have never done. And that's just what the product's done to me, put me to sleep. It's sad.
Yeah, it has not been good.
All right, Jimmy, is there anything that you want to sit there and plug?
I only saw bits and pieces of Raw, so I got nothing there. And I haven't watched SmackDown since the first episode, and that's really sad. And that whole thing, I really like to see where this is going to go, because, like, Fox is definitely – I mean, first and foremost, Fox saw the ratings it was doing. So if they just thought that ratings would be better, even better, if it was on our channel, that's on them, you know. So it's not like Vince promised them, you know, crazy ratings. They saw what it was doing already. So
I feel like Fox had to pull out its own surprise with the CM Punk thing. I mean, just to get people talking in the product. I mean, Fox got obviously has a huge-ass fucking bank account that we can never compare to. So they'll do whatever they humanly can to get people talking about Raw, or excuse me, talking about SmackDown. At least that's just my human opinion right there.
Yeah, well, your opinion is valid.
All right, Jimmy, do you have anything else you want to sit there and try to plug or tote about before we sign off here?
No, man, I think it's been a great time. I appreciate you having me.
Hey, I'm just happy that you were able to help help me close out this pay-per-view that we've been dying to try to get out for a while.
Yeah, man.
All right. For Jimmy Z, I am just in time. We will see you all in 2 weeks. Everybody have a good, happy, safe Thanksgiving. And with that, hey, Todd, you're still a bitch.